A very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is number 052992, the United States against Jones. Mr. Martin.
Okay, please the court, Judge Ripple, Judge Coffey,
Judge Sykes.
Good morning. My name is Daniel Martin, and I represent Mr. Willie Jones, the appellant in this case. I submit to the court that the issue in the case is rather straightforward. The district court committed error when it computed the drug amounts based upon a preponderance of the evidence standard. And that is that the district court, experienced trial judge, submitted to the jury a special interrogatory. That special interrogatory asking the jury to make a determination as to the amount of drugs that were involved in count four of this indictment. Indeed, the only count that is in serious contention or issue.
Pardon,
here.
May I suggest that you stay in front of the microphone? We do record these oral arguments. They're very helpful to us when we go back to study the case.
Very well, Thank Judge you. Ripple. My apologies.
Judge, the computations led to an advisory guideline range of 168 months to 210 months. Now, the jury finding below, we urge, as to count four, found only that Mr. Willie Jones distributed more than 5 grams, but less than 50 grams of cocaine base.
Now, this was under Section 841A, am I correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, this, and the maximum sentence under 841A is how much?
The maximum sentence under 841A was 40 years. But the guideline maximum sentence under our computations was 120 to 150 months. The judge, after he made the finding as to the specific amount under a preponderance standard, found that that guideline range, that advisory range, was higher. And he found that that was higher because under a preponderance of the evidence, he stated that he would make a specific finding as to 47.27 grams of cocaine base versus the jury's finding, which we have submitted in the district court and continue to urge here, can be no more than 5.1 grams.
Am I correct that the sentence imposed by the judge was below the statutory maximum for the offense?
It was below the statutory maximum. That is correct, Your Honor.
I'm having difficulty seeing how there's a violation of the Apprendi rule then.
Well, after Booker and its progeny, Judge Ripple, we have a finding that the statutory maximum is construed as the guideline maximum. The Supreme Court has stated that. So what we're dealing with here is an advisory guideline maximum range that a judge can depart up or down from. But nonetheless, under the protections of Booker and under what we urge are the protections of the beyond a reasonable doubt consideration of these enhancements, any enhancement which goes above that guideline range, which has been deemed the statutory range by the Supreme Court, is also a violation of the beyond a reasonable doubt standard. So we're not simply dealing... I'm sorry, Your Honor, I was going to ask a question.
Well, do you agree with the government that the district court considered the guideline range to be advisory in this case?
I do agree that the district court considered the guideline range to be advisory, but that advisory range was erroneously computed by the district court because the district court took the jury's finding and, in fact, added to it, changed it, and I won't say manipulated it, but certainly, Judge, added facts to it which the jury had not found beyond a reasonable doubt. The jury's finding was between 5 and 15 and 50 grams of cocaine base. And anything beyond 5.1 grams based upon that finding was, we submit, complete conjecture. Indeed, Judge, that interrogatory was submitted by the court. And I was not trial counsel, but I assume that it was submitted to that court after careful consideration by both parties as well as the court. The jury was asked to assist the district court judge. In fact, to tell the district judge how to sentence this man. And the jury came back with an interrogatory that says between 5 and 50. From that, Judge, we cannot fairly or accurately extrapolate any amount beyond 5.1, because anything within that reasonable doubt finding beyond that is complete conjecture. And as we have argued in our brief, it is complete guesswork. So we had a reasonable doubt. In fact, this is a very narrow area of cases. This is the post-Blakely pre-Booker cases within which judges were submitting certain types of interrogatories. Perhaps those types of interrogatories or special verdict forms are different or more precise now. But here, the judge asked the jury to make its determination beyond a reasonable doubt, and the jury did. And the judge found that the jury made a determination beyond a reasonable doubt regarding the total amount of cocaine base as more than 5 but less than 50.
I don't understand your argument, counsel, that a determination by the jury of more than 5 and less than 50 means 5.1.
Well, Your Honor,
or must as a legal matter.
Our argument,
that seems to be the thrust of your argument.
And it is,
I don't
Your
understand
Honor.
What the legal basis for that is.
Our argument is that anything beyond that, that the jury did not provide to the court a specific amount regarding the amount of drugs that were distributed with respect to count 4, and the jury was not asked to do that. The court asked the jury to make a finding beyond a reasonable doubt as to whether the amount of drugs was between 5 and 50.
And what's wrong with that as a legal matter?
As a legal matter, we cannot tell from that what amount the jury found, Your Honor. The jury found between 5 and 50 grams.
Are you arguing then that post-Booker, every jury verdict in a drug case has to ask the jury to find with specificity not just the range for statutory maximum purposes, but the specific amount? Is that your argument? That the jury has to be submitted a special verdict form, essentially, that asks them to find with weight specificity down to the tenths and one hundredths what amount of drugs are involved?
Your Honor, followed to its logical conclusion, yes.
And what's the legal basis for that argument?
The legal basis for that is that the drug amounts are driven, drug penalties are driven by drug amounts. And since the law of the land, as well as the unsettled issue of beyond a reasonable doubt, exists, that it is still the province of the jury in a trial to determine beyond a reasonable doubt.
Doesn't that conflict with all of our post-Booker case law that holds that it's perfectly appropriate and legal for the judge to find specific drug quantities by a preponderance standard as long as the guidelines are advisory?
Your Honor, Your Honor, I understand that this court in Welsh and some other courts have stated that, but I would urge that it is not at all settled law that a judge may find from a preponderance these types of
amounts. So you want us to overrule that whole line of post-Booker cases?
Judge, I'm asking the court to reconsider that line of cases in light of the fact that the Supreme Court has not yet spoken directly to this issue. I noticed that my white light is on, and I would like to reserve the remainder of my time unless the court has additional questions now.
I don't think so, Mr. Martin. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Ripple. Judge Sykes, Judge Coffey.
We'll hear now from Ms. Hickey.
May it please the court. My name is Maggie Hickey, and I represent the United States. There is only one issue in this case, whether the district court properly imposed a sentence based on drug quantities determined by the district court by the preponderance of the evidence. Contrary to defendant's suggestions, the law is well settled that the Constitution does not require that the government prove beyond a reasonable doubt drug quantities for sentencing purposes. Instead, the district court evaluates the evidence of drug quantities by a preponderance of the evidence as long as that finding does not increase the defendant's statutory maximum penalties. The purpose of the proposed interrogatory in this case was to establish those maximum statutory penalties. The Welch case is the controlling authority that makes it clear in this post-Booker era that the district court is entitled to make factual findings by a preponderance of the evidence because the guidelines are now applied as advisory. The Welch case was correctly decided. There is no need for this court to reconsider it, and that the government asks that this court affirm the defendant's sentence. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Apparently not, Ms. Hickey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin had some extra time. He has 2 minutes.
Your Honors, we urge that the statutory maximum penalties are the guideline maximum penalties, and that is what drove the district court here. And why the beyond the reasonable doubt standard? Because fundamental fairness and due process compel it. Because
Do you have any case law to back your theory up?
Well, Your Honor, I have cited cases beginning with United States versus Winship, which talked about...
It says the proof must be beyond a reasonable doubt as to the quantity.
Proof beyond a reasonable doubt as to the quantity. Judge, I have a dissent in Booker by Justice Thomas, which suggests that exactly that is the case, that those determinations should be indeed must
be. I said, do you have any case law on that?
United States versus Booker.
There isn't any, is there?
Well, United States versus Booker dissent would be the only case that I have. There are district court cases, Judge. There are district court cases, Judge Adelman, Judge Gertner, but I have not cited them in my brief, and I'm a bit reluctant to discuss those cases. There are contrary opinions. The Sentencing Commission itself, Judge Coffey, has stated that the beyond a reasonable doubt standard should apply in enhanced situations. And, Judge, we're dealing here with the denial of a fundamental right. We're dealing here with an enhanced sentence, which equals is tantamount to a denial of an individual's liberty. I mean, and in that respect, Judge, we believe that the recent line of Supreme Court cases not deciding the beyond a reasonable doubt standard, coupled with this denial of a fundamental right, compelled not only this court respectfully to reconsider its opinion in Welsh, but to make a determination that these enhancements, which are in fact reconstructed after a jury verdict by a judge, should be banned, and we should not have to deal that the court should rule against the preponderance standard whenever an individual's liberty is decreased further beyond what it would have been under the advisory range. Any further questions? I thank the court for its attention.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Indeed, our thanks to both Mr. Martin and Ms. Hickey for their fine presentations, and the case will be taken under advisement.